It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, you know how Amazon's like evil?
Do I know? What do you mean, evil?
Like, pretty much ruining all smaller businesses and destroying the economy and definitely purchasing lots and lots of products that are made with both child and slave labor.
Okay, yeah, all that stuff.
And exponentially increasing the damage of climate change on the planet. I mean, I don't actually believe in evil, but if I was going to come up with a definition, that'd be about as close as I could manage.
Oh, okay.
But you know how we all, maybe not you, because, but we all still buy stuff from Amazon like all the fucking time.
Yeah, Amazon's very popular. We get things from Amazon sometimes. Yeah.
I don't know. You, first of all, you're you. And second of all, you balked at the idea that they were evil. So
I don't categorize things that way. It's usually,
fine. But nobody cares what you actually think. Anyway. And it's a problem. I sometimes struggle with this. And we do try, if there is an option that's not Amazon that is of roughly equivalent convenience and price, we will go with it. Which is such a low bar and like almost never happens, but we try. But it's hard because they have like everything. And usually surprisingly inexpensive. And also, I don't have to go anyplace. And that's really awesome. Well, I feel similar about Walmart, except Walmart is easier for me to avoid because I do have to go there. And so we very seldom shop at Walmart. We will if it's necessary. We used to back in the day when we could not afford to shop other places. We shopped at Walmart fairly regularly, but nowadays I'm very happy not to, again, for all the reasons not to do Amazon, and also for some of both the business practices and the family that owns them and all sorts of things. But anyway, so I don't go to Walmart very often, and I'm perfectly happy with that. But I had to go to Walmart today. Because, as we have done for the last few years, we're doing that thing with a family for United Way where we buy them presents and stuff like that. And commonly with these families, and I can say that now because we've done this a few times, they will ask for a gift card, often for sort of household things.
Mm.
And also we will often get a gift card when they request things that we think are too specific for us to pick out. Like a family wants, you know, shampoo or like some basic hygiene stuff. We're like, I'm not going to pick that for you. So here's a gift card. You buy your own. And the family we have now specifically asked for a Walmart gift card, which again makes sense because you can stretch your money really well there. So I went today to buy that. I don't like going in Walmart also because this is very giant store and a lot of people. I was there at 9 a.m. on a Monday. The parking lot was like half full. Walmart's busy, man. Hmm. But anyway, I find the gift card. I don't really have to go much. I find the gift card right near the cash register, and I go to the cash register, and there's somebody in front of me. And so I'm looking at the impulse items, and there are a whole lot of interesting flavors of sugarless gum. And this is of interest to me because I do periodically buy sugarless gum. I enjoy it it is a nice, if I want like a sweet thing, but I don't want to actually have some of the calories. I was raised on artificial sweeteners, so it's fine for me. And generally speaking, nutritionally, it's fine. Like there's no calories involved, or there's often minimal calories involved. Obviously no sugar. That's great. I try not to do it all the time, because the most common artificial sweetener in chewing gum in larger quantities can act as a laxative.
Mm.
And also, even if there's no sugar or anything, there is often a lot of like citric acid and stuff to make the flavor. And chewing gum periodically can be very good for your teeth, but a lot of acid, not as much. So I do it, and then I wait a while or whatever. But anyway, I was very excited about this. And now I'm annoyed because my grocery store does not have these flavors. And I see these really cool commercials and for all these different flavors. Trident makes like Sour Patch Kid flavored gum and stuff like that. And my supermarket has like none, but Walmart had like all of them. So apparently I am like the little kid who sees the candy on the way out, except I'm a grown up. And the answer is theoretically now I'm going to have to drive to Walmart to buy gum. I don't know. It's weird. But in the meantime, I got a couple different packages of Sour Patch Kids gum. I see you with your standard William, I don't know how to interface with humans face, which tells me you're uninterested and bored. And I do not blame you, but it's the only cold open I had was to talk about Walmart and their vast array of gum. So okay. Here we are. Make you start coming up with the opening. See how you do.
Okay.
Fucking 12 and a half years. I'm out of ideas, all right? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that has been trying for over 12 years to do ASMR. And nobody's mentioned anything, so I'm not sure we're doing it right, but we're still trying. Are we supposed to whisper more, or
probably
get in closer to the mic? Crinkling, is that?
Does that stuff work on you? Does that work on you?
No, never. No.
Yeah, me neither.
For a very short period, I did watch some videos because depending on the specifics, they are relaxing because it's very soft spoken. But no, the supposed like weird effect in the back of your head or nothing. Like I have never had anything other than this is calm. I like calm.
I've been annoyed by them. They've annoyed me. Like someone plays, isn't this relaxing? It's the opposite of that.
And some of them aren't relaxing. It depends on how you do it, because it's a sound thing, and there's a variety of different ones. And I don't know if they work, if they all work for an ASMRite or whatever you'd call somebody who can. Has that experience. Years ago, Cracked did a good video on that because one of them was sort of introducing it to this guy was introducing it to some women in the office he worked with, and they immediately are like, it's a sexy thing for you because it's like a pretty woman whispering or whatever. And he's like, no, it's not that. But then they found some other ones of like guys doing it, and this was a straight man, and he's like, well, okay, this isn't working as well. Maybe it was a sex thing. Because this isn't doing it for me anymore.
Well, I mean, that's what it is.
But I mean, if you enjoy it, whatever. If you enjoy this, whatever. But you're a weirdo. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 665.
So close. Yep. Man. I mean, we are going to disappoint our fans so hard next week.
Yeah, probably.
Or bring about the apocalypse. You got to listen to find out which it's going to be.
I mean, it's going to be on the solstice and everything. So it's like
maybe actually we'll bring about an extremely disappointing perhaps. That sounds on brand.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if we bring about an apocalypse, it's gonna be a disappointing one. Of course,
I'm apocalypse, and you. Well, never mind. You get it. You get it. You all get it. It's fine.
That was good. Good one.
For those of you just joining us for the first time, get ready next week. Disappoint apocalypse. If I thought I could possibly spell that, that would be the episode title, but I don't think I can. We have a hat. It is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, every once in a while, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with sort of whatever the crap they want, and sort of the hat, whatever the crap it wants, forwards it to us magically. This hat, no appendages, no USB port, nothing like that. Just magic. Forwards emails to us. We read them, talk about them. That's it. But again, no emails. So just two white dudes talking about nothing. So we're like, imagine if Seinfeld had been a much less funny podcast with much smaller cast and production values and just like worse in every way.
Yeah.
We're that.
That's us.
We're basically Seinfeld.
Off brand, generic brand, not a lot worse.
Yeah. Just generic brand. We're generic brand. Everything.
Regional supermarket it. Generic brand.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are the try and save
we're not like a Trader Joe's brand or
I do like some of the house brands are getting really as I grow older the house brand names are more intense than they used to be. Like back in the day it was like Countryside or you know home cook or whatever, like stuff like or somebody's name, like Kirkland, which apparently is huge in Decatur, Illinois. They've got like buildings named after Kirkland. I'm like, is that the same one as the Costco brand? Is somebody famous for that? But anyway, but nowadays it's like Select Choice and stuff. And my favorite, of course, is Hy-Vee's. That's smart! Exclamation point.
Hmm.
And I'm
you
like,
never see. Do you remember generic brands where it was just a black and white label and like, you know, to keep it cheap, they didn't even invest anything in a label design or a name or anything. Do you remember that?
Yes, but only like once.
Oh.
We were at a grocery store that was still a big grocery store. It just didn't happen to be the chain we went to, except on rare occasions. And we happened to go there, and I remember seeing some stuff that was the white, just with black labeling, generic. Yeah. But only just one time. Mostly, it's all about the house brands.
There was also this thing when I was a kid where some supermarkets gave you stamps.
Oh, yeah.
That you can put in a book. And then there was an actual place you could go to shop and spend these stamps on like toasters and coffee pots and things like that.
Yep.
Regal, I want to say, or something. I don't know what it was, but yeah, that was a thing.
I'm guessing there were a variety of them.
Yeah. But it's like, this was a whole, like they had an infrastructure supporting it and everything, right? It wasn't.
Yeah,
like there was actual physical stores you went to spend these stamps, and I don't. And suddenly it just stopped. I don't know if people weren't doing it anymore or what that was about.
I mean, I guess it ceased to be profitable or whatever. They found other loyalty programs. Nowadays, it's all about nowadays where it's headed. And I know this because my store is just recently switched over. Is a membership where you get deals if you're a member, and that slowly over time morphs into, if you want to shop here, be a member, and it'll be like going a normal grocery shopping. And if you're not a member, we're going to charge you way too much. And I know this because there's a different chain that does not exist here that I have to shop at every once in a while when I go home to visit my family on the West Coast. And I finally got a membership because I was like, I'm only here once a year, but the prices are so much, like, it's like $30 more for my week's grocery shopping if I'm not a member. And Hy-Vee just switched over and now they have member pricing. And at the moment, it's all a little bit cheaper if you're a member, but I'm like, soon it's going to be much more. It's just more expensive if you're not. So that's fun.
And membership's not free, right? You have to pay a year.
No, it is free. It's absolutely free.
Oh,
well, that part's fine. Like,
what did they get out of you being a member then?
Because you're inclined to go there.
Oh, I see. Just more inclined to go. Sure.
Yeah. Sorry. They don't explicitly say our prices are normal if you're a member and way more expensive if you're not. Mm-hmm. They constantly are like, oh, you're saving money. But like, I know how much things cost and I know how much you're charging. And I'm like, that's not a discount. That's like more money if you're not.
Right.
And at this point, it is a discount, but. At the beginning, you also got a lot of those gas fuel saver scents, and now those are extremely rare.
Yeah. Well, like there's a co-op, and you do pay for that, like on a yearly.
Yes, and the co-op has always been honest about
it. Yeah.
These are our prices. If you're not a member, we tack on like 5% or whatever.
Yeah.
And that is genuinely this is a surcharge for shopping here when you are not a member of the co-op.
Yeah, it's
and cooperative, I understand that principle.
Yeah,
and
right.
We are members of that.
Yeah, we are too.
Not that I've shopped there in years, but.
Hmm.
So, how's your week been? Are you done yet?
This is the last practicum.
I don't want to say that gerund form of the word practicum that I had in mind. Doesn't sound good. Sorry. Are you done with your practicum?
No, this is the last week. there's not really anything to do this week except, you know, go in and, you know, put in the usual hours or whatever. And of course, submit those hours and all that administrative stuff. But all the stuff that would be graded is done. I mean, this stuff has to be. So with the practicum, it's interesting. So, well, it's interesting to me. The classes up until now, you do the stuff that needs to be graded and you're finished. Practicum, there's the stuff you need to do to be graded, and that's all finished. But there's also the administrative stuff you need to do that if you don't do, you won't like get your, you know, they won't approve your grades or finish your course. So you have to do them, but they're not graded. So there's a lot of administrative stuff this quarter that I never had to do before, but it's not, you know, difficult to do. It's all online or whatever. But that has to still be done this week. But otherwise, I don't have to really worry about like reading any chapters or writing any papers or anything. I just have to show up, do my thing, record the hours, and that'll be it. Friday will be the last day. Some people are going to keep working over the 3-week break, you know, because they're at a site and they're practicum and they're going to go right into internship at that site. So it's like, well, I'll just keep working there. I'm not going to do that. I'll be off for the whole 3 weeks.
But your internship is going to be at the same place as your practicum, yeah?
Yeah, well, there's complications though, because what one complication is there's a question about liability insurance, because when you're a therapist, you have to have liability insurance, and I have liability insurance, but I'm paying a student rate, and some people are saying that that means you're not covered while you're not actively enrolled in a class. I'm not sure that's actually true. For my insurance company, I'd have to contact them and find out. But if I'm not covered for that 3 weeks, and Capella also, there is a coverage that Capella provides while I'm in class, they wouldn't be covering me that 3 weeks. So I might not have coverage during the 3-week period for liability.
Oh, so. Well, so don't talk to anybody then.
Well, it's...
Give no advice. That's
my office doesn't... I mean, they don't care if I... don't work the 3 weeks. They're not worried about that. So
they're happy to see the back of you.
No, they're just not. They understand, like, all that.
Finally.
They understand all the complications with all of this. They don't have a problem with it. So, but maybe if I might contact my insurance company and clarify, it's like, so I'm paying a student rate, but my policy is just like everybody, right? I'm getting a break as a student, but that doesn't mean my policy is materially different than anyone else's policy. No. So I might call them and find out. And if they say, oh, no, you're still, you know, you're still covered. Well, then maybe I will, you know, go in a few times,
Would not advise that because I've been thinking about it and our recording schedule is going to be insane. So I'd rather you keep those 3 weeks open.
We'll see what happens. But I mean, there's
priorities,
also,
man. Come on.
There's also a holiday there where my wife's off work for like a week and stuff. It's like,
there is a thing coming.
Yeah. Why would I, if I can take that week off, why wouldn't I?
I want to say, speaking of Seinfeld.
So yeah, I probably won't. I'll probably start back up again in January.
Hanukkah. I think Hanukkah starts like today. Hanukkah's real early this year.
Yeah, I don't remember, but I think you're right. I think it is early.
Yeah.
Relative to Christmas anyway. What else? The kids were over most of the week because they had a fire.
No, we talked about it.
Yeah, they had a fire in their house. So they just went back yesterday. They decided it was clean up enough and that, you know, it didn't smell like smoke as much. And the place that had been burned out was painted stuff. So they were able to go back. But that, you know, that was probably the main thing that was going on all week was just having them, because when they would leave to go work on stuff, we would have the kids.
You would just grandpa the hell out of things.
Yeah. That was fun. It's always fun to have the grandkids over. So
just wait. They'll get older.
So how was your week?
It was okay. I mean, it's the holidays.
Did Macy's like poison you? Just,
so I don't know. I don't know. I still don't know what that's about. I mean, it seems like all the Macy's commercials are about fragrances, so they might poison. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just waiting for you to figure that out because I'm very curious.
Why is it? There are exceptions, but by and large, the prestige commercial type, and I mean that in terms of participation of like the actors and also sometimes the directors and things, is all perfume commercials. Why are those the thing?
I don't know.
Because without fail, those commercials annoy the shit out of me because they are so fucking pretentious.
And weird sometimes. Just weird.
And very weird.
Yeah.
I love the one where Adam Driver turns into a centaur for no reason. it's very odd, but week's been pretty chill. Still playing a fair bit of video games. I've been playing a lot of No Man's Sky, right? I talked about that.
I recall you mentioning that, but not recently. Yeah.
I'm back to play. I played it years ago and I got it, you know, it has a gameplay loop like everything. It got old. I got bored. So I moved on to other things. But recently I decided to go back. For one, it felt very comfortable because it's a very open-ended do whatever you want thing. You can explore. It's actually one of the best games, in my opinion, for exploration. Or you can base build, or there are quest lines and things like that. Just lots of stuff you can do. And that felt good. But also, I think we've talked about this before. So for those of you not as familiar, No Man's Sky is a space exploration game. And its big thing was it was procedurally generated. And so it literally had like quintillions of planets. And technically everybody's playing in the same universe, but like the odds of you running into each other are very low because of how big this is and all. And it came out and everybody was like, because like it was very repetitive. You had basically like four different kinds of planets and like some different colors of those planets, and a ton of features that they said would be there weren't there. And everybody was like, this is boring as shit. There was sort of no real quest lines or anything, and it was just nothing. And I didn't play. But then a couple years go by and people are like, the creators keep putting more stuff in and none of it's paid. It's all included with the game. And they're adding in more stuff all the time. And they're adding in things that sort of give you a quest line or a few different quest lines if, like, you need some sort of direction, which I think a lot of us do. And so I played it, and I really enjoyed it. And it was very vague in places and things, but I had a really good time with it. Anyway, I haven't played for a few years. They're still doing this. Mm. They're still adding things in. And so I was like, I'll try it again. Man, there's a lot of additional things you can do. There's also a lot of sort of quality of life improvements. Spaceship fighting was something I kind of got into, but I wasn't very good at it because it's sort of hard to, like, you're all flying around and it's hard to, like, keep track of them, but I got pretty good at the time. I recently found out now it's set up so if I hold down one button, I automatically follow whoever I'm targeted. And now it's way easier. But the worlds are so much more unique and detailed than they used to be and involved. And it's, I find myself playing a lot of it and I really just am into the exploration part. Like, just finding these different worlds, and this, I found this weird world that most of the plant life looked very mushroomy, and then I was on the planet long enough that night happened and there was bioluminescence all over, and in fact the sort of the grass had these waves of bioluminescence. It was amazing. I went to a planet recently, not for very long, because it was mostly just water, but it had, like, little islands you could, so I landed on one of those, and as soon as I land on it and get out of my ship, the most giant worm-like thing, bigger than my ship, let alone me, just jumps over the top, scared the shit out of me, jumped in the water, and then I just sort of watched it go off in the distance. And I really think your wife would love this game.
Probably, yeah. I mean, she played it back when it first came out. She kind of liked it then, but it sounds like
so it's a lot. She has now played it. Okay. Yeah, they've done a ton of stuff since then. They've done a ton of... There are a lot of quest lines, and they've also found ways to make it more friendly for multiplayer. But the base building has become huge, and the planets have become so much more diverse. So I really think she might want to... And I started over, which I think was a good idea, too.
Yeah. But, yeah,
and lots of stuff I don't even know about yet. Every space station, well, not every, but several space stations have these, like, shady black market dealers, and I don't know anything about them yet because, like, I don't have anything to sell to them, but it's like a thing, and
yeah,
it's really fascinating. And also, I think, insofar as the actual plot of the game, because I did beat the game last time. And there is sort of a realization of there's a twist, for lack of a better term, to it. And it's very interesting playing the game again, sort of knowing what's going on in a way that lends it an interesting sort of depth to it. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with that. Also playing a little bit of Circus Electric, which I think I talked about before. That's still fun. Yeah. I tried playing it on just the small screen. It's really hard. I'm not a mobile guy, I think, because the screen is too small. It's hard to work with. But
yeah.
Let's see. I need to be slower because we are going to run out of stuff to talk about. Because we don't got no email. We finished season 3 of The Witcher.
Oh. Huh. I forgot that we were even watching that.
Yeah, when did you stop?
I don't remember. I'm sure we didn't watch the whole season. I'm sure we didn't. But I don't know.
I am extremely excited to be done. I do not intend to come back to The Witcher in book or TV form. And I'm relieved.
Would you play a video game if they came out with a video game? Or
I don't know. I suspect not, but I don't actually know. But this is a fun thing. In finishing this, and knowing I wasn't going to come back, I did kind of a deep dive into the books versus the video games, or like where the stories are different and whatever. And I finally figured out the video games, in some cases, coincidentally match up, but the video game is whole cloth an unrelated story.
Mm.
Technically, they were licensed to use the characters and names and likenesses from the books, but to make up anything they wanted. And boy, did they.
Mm.
Which is very interesting, because there are things in the TV show that I now believe were taken from the video games and never happened in the books.
Mm.
And apparently a lot of fans of the books have been really annoyed at the twists and derivations that the TV show has done. But when I read up on the plots and everything, the TV show is way closer to the books than I would have suspected.
Oh.
A lot of things that felt very much like television show decisions, mm-hmm. straight out of the books. There are some things that are like in different places chronologically, I guess. And maybe that's a thing. I don't know. I also dove in a little bit into why Henry Cavill left, and it's complicated and no one will ever really say, because everybody still wants to be able to work with everybody in Hollywood and whatever. But I will say this. The first two seasons of The Witcher, and this applies to a lot of genre dramas for me, TV shows. Each season started off with me going, what the fuck are we, what is happening? What, why? No, what? No, I'm not sure I'm into, well, let's see. And then by the end of the season, last few episodes, I kind of had a sense of what was going on and actually cared about what was going on and wanted to see the end, which is how I get fooled by a lot of these TV shows. Cause I start every season going, wow, this show sucks now. And by the end, I'm like, oh no, I'm really into it. And then the next season, and this happens with a lot of shows like that, but it happened with the first two seasons of The Witcher. Third season started off kind of okay. And in my opinion, by the last two or three episodes, went completely off the rails. Like, I don't understand. I mean, I strictly speaking, I understand what happened in the end of the season. I do not understand why any character did any of the things they did. Or why we made it into a TV show. So I am just jazzed to be out of it. But I saw a trailer recently for an upcoming horror film whose lead is the one who plays Cirilla, Ciri, in The Witcher. And so I'm kind of excited to see her in something else, because she annoys me a lot, but I think it maybe is the character and not the actor's fault. So I'll be curious to see. But from the ridiculous to the sublime, we finished the first season of a different show that I want to highly recommend. I have mentioned it in passing. It is on Max, and it is called Somebody Somewhere. And it is a show primarily starring Bridget Everett, who is a comedic actor and singer that I have sort of been a fan of over the years. She shows up in sort of smaller things in various movies and stuff, but I've always liked her. And this was a thing created by her, and a couple other of the major actors in this sort of seem to have made this. And it is basically a comedy set in specifically Manhattan, Kansas, which is the town where Kansas State University is. And it's she moved back to care for someone with a terminal illness. This is her hometown. And she moved back a year or so ago. And the story starts a few months after that person has died. And she is sort of trying to find herself, as it were. And she ends up reconnecting with someone she vaguely knew in high school. And And it's just a sort of comedy based around that. They're short episodes. They're little half-hour episodes. It's really good. It's quite funny. But it's also really, really good. The characters, even the there are some characters that seem like they are sort of one-dimensional in a lot of way. As it goes on, they have tremendous depth. It plays with, there's a lot of LGBTQ stuff going on. Looking at some of the things of, you know, being queer in a town of that size and disposition. And it's just really funny. Trish and I suspect that some of it is improv'd because there's just sort of a thing sometimes in performances where you're like, that didn't feel like it was being read from a script, but only certain parts of it. And just in you know, like 7 half-hour episodes in the first season, the amount of dynamism and growth in the story and in the characters and in the relationships is really good. And it's it's got serious stuff. It has occasionally gotten me a little misty-eyed. And some of it's pretty serious stuff, but I didn't have difficulty with it. I didn't have difficulty watching it. It's just, I guess, funny enough, and it doesn't, again, sort of luxuriate in the trauma in the same way. But I highly, highly, highly recommend it to, I think, pretty much everybody. At least anybody who would listen to this podcast, definitely you and your wife.
Okay.
It's a good show. It's got 2 seasons. I haven't watched the second season yet. But really good. Yeah. So I like that.
Good.
Also saw a movie from 1956 called The Killing. It is Stanley Kubrick's third feature length film ever. The Dark Corners review guy, I think I've talked about this before. He mostly just does funny reviews of shitty movies. But starting when COVID happened, because he's a very serious film guy in his life, he started doing serious reviews of, in a lot of cases, sort of classic older movies and stuff that were available on streaming that he didn't think were shitty movies, that he just wanted to talk about as movies. And he sort of continued that even after sort of lockdown finished or whatever. And so recently he did one on this movie. And the big thing about this movie is it's a heist movie. And I, and especially Trish, love heist movies. And it's available for free. We watched it on Pluto TV. You can watch it for free. I mean, there's some commercials, but whatever. It's not bad. It's a very, very interesting movie. It has the sensibilities of a movie from the 50s. And it's a very interesting plot. I don't know that it's solid dialogue or I don't know. Some of the film craft is very striking and interesting. I don't know that all is, like, I certainly don't think this is like Kubrick's best work or anything like that. I mean, of course not, but it's interesting. It's not a bad heist movie. I kind of enjoyed it. I didn't know anybody in it except one of the guys plays a guy who, he's one of those faces that if you watch enough old black and white movies, you're just like, I've seen him in things.
Right.
And I mostly remember him as the guy from the Vincent Price Haunting of Hill House or House on Haunted Hill. I forget which it is. He was the guy who technically owns the house and he's one of the guests that night. And when you see him, you're like, oh yeah, I know, he's been in a ton of stuff. And it's a fun movie in that it plays with time a lot. And you never get lost because for some reason there is omnipresent, almost Dragnet style narration in the movie. So it's like at 11:55 on Thursday, Johnny went to this thing and he wasn't interested in the drinks, he was just here for some so that helps, but like you jump back in time and forward in time sometimes in places, and it very purposely sets it up so you and the conspirators, no one knows the full plot, And so that's sort of the thing. You don't exactly know how that, you know what bits and pieces are involved, but it's not until the end that you sort of get the whole picture and all that. And I don't know, it's kind of fun. It's only like an hour and a half. It's not bad. Not a lot else, though. Not much going on.
Did I tell you when we saw Elemental?
The Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
No. You didn't. Shame on you.
I know. This was several weeks ago. How was it? I mean, you know, if you're a fan of Pixar, I think you would like it. It's not groundbreaking. It's not going to blow your mind or anything, but it's fun. And I don't remember. I was going to tell you about this immediately. Now I don't remember all the details, but I remember hearing a very familiar voice at one point, just a bit part for like a few seconds. And I looked it up to make sure. And sure enough, it was Joe Pera voices someone in the movie just for a little bit of time. I thought that was pretty great.
I love those weird ones. There's a, I don't even know what cartoon it is. YouTube tossed me up the link one time. Griffin McElroy from My Brother and Me did a voice in some cartoon as he was like this weird, like mysterious shopkeeper for just like one scene. But it cracks me up because it's a voice I've heard him use in the Adventure Zone podcast as a character.
Yeah,
but it's like clearly that same voice.
Another sort of interesting thing. I don't know. So the grandson, for whatever reason, he's over here and the parents are working on their house and he is looking for something to do. Obviously he's a pretty rambunctious kid.
Is he two yet?
He's like two and a half.
Oh, right.
And so I don't know. Well, yes, I do. So when we went to the St. Louis Zoo, there's a section, and this was like several months ago, there's a section that has like animatronic dinosaurs or whatever. So we go into that section, and these dinosaurs, not only they move, but they make noises, you know. And he would go up to them like as close as he could, and he'd roar at them. Like he wasn't scared of him or anything. He just went right up to him and he'd roar at them. and so, you know, sometimes when we're like in a store that, well, like that gift, the gift shop there, for example, this is an example, you know, you'd see little plush sharks or whatever. He'll grab that and he'll roar, or he'll see a Tyrannosaurus Rex and he'll grab that and roar. And he just likes animals that he thinks of that either do roar or that he thinks of as roaring, whatever. So we got it in our head yesterday. Or not yesterday, but a couple days ago, that maybe he'd like that old 1978 Godzilla cartoon. So you can find it on
Godzuki.
That one. You can find it on YouTube. You can, and they have little, like, I don't know.
And holy shit, does it not hold up?
No. But he loved it. Like,
it is hot garbage, but yeah, I can absolutely see a 2.5-year-old who's into roaring would be super into that.
Loved it. Every time they called, you know, they use that little button to call Godzilla, and Godzilla comes up out of the water, he's yay! He gets all excited. And pretty soon he was doing this little thing. He'd be walking around and he'd go like this. Boop.
Roar.
It was so funny, and he loved it. He just loved it. And so his folks get back here, and they'd never seen it. I mean, you know, because it's between 78 and 81 or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if they even knew it existed.
And I don't think it was particularly successful even at the time.
No.
There have been more reboots of Godzilla in animation than there have been in film, I think. Because there have only been like three or four different Godzillas in film. There have been a lot of cartoons of Godzilla.
Yeah, they have been.
And I've seen most of them.
And Toho made this. I mean, this was...
This was back in the day. And they were like, you know what's hot right now? Scrappy-Doos. You need a Scrappy-Doo. So let's give Godzilla a Scrappy-Doo.
I don't know how interested he was in Godzuki, but what was interesting to me watching it was how committed the writers were to, like, so there's a scientist in it. The lead scientist is the Quinn, Dr. Quinn. I forget her last name. It's a woman. But every once in a while, there would be some dialogue that was like, where the writers seemed to really want to pay respect to the science. I don't know. Like, you know, they would, oh, like, here's one.
And science.
This is a perfect example. This is a perfect example. So at one point, two of the characters, they needed to get down to depth where a couple other characters were and were trapped in the ocean. And they decided, well, Godzilla could, like, protect them in his hand, right? He could put him in his hand and go down. And then the guy said, and it'll be airtight and pressure something. So it's like the writers felt like this guy had to make a comment about, oh, we'll be able to breathe and there won't be any pressure problems. Like, the kid is going to care who's watching, right? It's like this, they constantly did little things like this. Like, we need to cover the science of what we're doing here. And of course it didn't. Of course, that's absurd.
Yes, but
whatever. But
meanwhile, at the same time in this country, we're doing what? The Super Friends? Where, like, the Flash can do literally anything if he uses the phrase vibrating atoms. And that's the show where they went to space and sometimes they had helmets and sometimes they didn't. Like, the same characters for no reason.
Coincidentally, so the woman...
At least Godzilla was trying.
Yeah. And the woman who voices that scientist also voiced Wonder Woman in Super Friends. But
and no. That's not what you say. The woman who voices that scientist also voiced 80% of all the female characters in Super Friends.
I mean, that's true. But yeah, every once in a while, they'll say something that's like, oh, we need to cover the science of this plot. And I just think it's hilarious because it's like, this is a ridiculous cartoon. And sometimes it's situations like that where, no, a creature's hand is not going to provide oxygen and pressure. And right. Also, you know, there were other things they didn't cover, but that's what made it so funny was that, oh, well, we can't do that because, and then they had to have some scientific explanation, sometimes accurate. And you were like, wow, why did they pay so much attention to that detail?
This is like, this is like me and Ant-Man. I'm like, if you insist on trying to make it scientific, it's just going to highlight how crazy, how bad
silly
you are.
Yeah, how silly everything else is. Oh, it was really funny.
I was actually just watching a thing about the House series of horror movies starring William Catt. The third one has a evil serial killer who's killed in the electric chair and he comes back to haunt people, and it's very much like a ripoff of Freddy Krueger sort of. But they have this whole thing in it about how if you die traumatically enough, you come back as a powerful spirit. And the only reason he could do it and others didn't is because he had an electric chair at home that he would use. And he was essentially building up a tolerance to being electrocuted. And the guy who's making the video is like, why are you doing this? Just say he's a ghost. Like, we're all fine with that. Like, why did you have to? You could have just, he died and he was evil and he's a ghost now and he has ghost powers and he can do all that. But no, we had to have the scientific explanation for our ghost. You just made it bad by trying to explain it. There's a lot of like Star Trek kind of ruined it for everybody, because I feel like Star Trek really found the sweet spot of techno babble. Star Trek just found the place where it's like, I don't believe this is real, but it feels like it has an internal logic that I can stick with. And on Star Trek, you can say just about anything, and I never say at the TV, well, that doesn't make sense. Dilithium crystals don't do that. But everybody else is so bad at it. And I'm constantly just like, but you said, then why would, and also, what? No.
Yeah, I just thought it was so funny that, because, and there were lots of little, like, things that didn't have anything to do with the plot, where they would just, it was there were they'd just be talking about general things on the way to get to somewhere or on the way and some scientific thing. And you're like, well, that's kind of interesting. And but why is this in here? This is an absurd cartoon. You don't have to work so hard.
They wanted kids to stay in school and study science. Did you, weird. When you were younger, did you have a phase where you wanted to be a marine biologist?
No.
Did you know anyone who had a phase? Well,
I think I knew, I mean, I knew a lot of kids who went through the I want to be a veterinarian stage. I knew a lot of kids that liked that. Or a paleontologist because they liked, you know.
Paleontology is a big one because dinosaurs kick ass.
Yeah. But I think I did know some people. I wanted to be one thing until I was 16, and that was a medical doctor. There wasn't anything else. And then after 16, I still wanted to be some kind of a, well, I mean, a lot like what I'm doing now. So I've been a, no.
Unsuccessful podcaster.
I've had a pretty steady vision of being some kind of a healthcare oriented clinician or whatever my whole life.
You wore a lot of neckties when you were like two, didn't you? I'm getting that vibe.
Clip-ons. Yeah.
That you chose.
I might have. I don't know. I liked them.
I think you should consider it lucky you didn't end up as a mortician. Like, you just had such clarity of purpose and identity that's the kind of person who ends up as a mortician, I think.
Really?
Like, you could have been there. Yeah. Maybe it's the ties. I don't know. It came up. I had a fairly long period of time where I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
And it seems like one out of every three humans, at least, or Americans at least, had a phase when they were, it's very close. Like, paleontologist is like just barely edging it out. It seems like so many kids. And it comes up because recently one of my niblings who is in high school is like very strongly wants to be a marine biologist. And part of me is like, oh, I remember that. And part of me is also like, that's going to involve a lot of math and science. And you both hate that and are not good at that. and like, you're old enough to know that. Like, you're old enough now that you should be starting to look at colleges. And they're just like, I want to be a marine biologist. Like, okay, maybe you should do like one thing to walk down that path, but you know, good uncle, so I'm done. But like, so it just popped into my head. I recently, a few weeks ago, Jason Momoa hosted Saturday Night Live, and it came up in that he had a period of time where he wanted to be a marine biologist. Like, so many of us, I don't know what it is.
I guess there was one other thing I was interested in being, but I didn't really talk about it very much. I don't even know I've told a lot of people about it. But I often thought about being a traveling entertainer. You know, like those people, like when you go to the Iowa State Fair, there's performers wandering around all the time doing various things, juggling or magic acts, or they have some kind of a puppet type of
like a busker, but kind in of. a more official capacity where like you are hired to do such things.
Or like when you go to Renaissance fairs, there's these people that do this for a living or whatever. I didn't really think of it in a Renaissance fair context, but I think because I'd experienced it at the state fair, I think I thought of it in that context. I thought that would be really fun to do that. And
state fair.
I practiced ventriloquism when I was a kid a lot. When I wanted to learn how to juggle, that's never quite worked out. And I wanted to learn all kinds of things that I thought would be handy for that kind of occupation. And I did things like I actually studied certain, traveling entertainer type skills, thinking, you know, I can learn how to do this. So in fact, in a way I did more stuff on a day-to-day basis for that kind of thing than I ever did for any other interest.
If you had been born like 10 years earlier, you would 100% have been in the circus. Like, there's no way that would. I'm not saying you would have stayed in a circus, but you definitely would have had a stint in a circus.
I still, like, you know, when I know people that do that kind of thing, or like I'll watch in a performer at the fair and I'm very interested in what their skills are, you know, how well they've worked on their craft and how effective it is. And, you know, I kind of think about what their life must be like. And of course, some of it, I mean, one of the reasons I never did that is because I think there's a lot of things about it I wouldn't like, obviously. So I just never.
Well, I mean, just ask Jazz, our resident expert on circus folk.
Yeah. But that was.
He turned out okay. So
it's not just a fantasy I had. I took it very seriously for a very long time and then just decided it wasn't for me, I guess. Did you ever think of that, being a performer or being an entertainer like
well,
that?
Well, no, I would say my longest running what I want to be when I grow up was, and this says something about my upbringing as well. I specifically wanted to have a PhD in performing arts.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I learned about PhDs and I knew performing arts was a thing you could major in. And so that's what I wanted. And I was supported in this by my family, which at the time seemed very sweet, but now makes me very angry, because it wasn't until well into my adolescence that some other person helpfully pointed out there is no such thing. The terminal degree in performing arts is not there is no PhD in performing arts.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually. I didn't know you could get a degree in performing arts until I was like second year in college and I realized
Thing.
No, I didn't know there was no advanced.
Yeah. And I mean, I did theater from a young age, back and forth at times. And I was, at any given time, I was involved in something musical.
Okay, but who teaches people
third grade on?
Who teaches people who are getting undergraduate degrees in that then?
Well, there are advanced degrees in performing arts, just not a PhD. Oh. I believe there are some specific ones that are specifically about arts. I don't know. I keep thinking of Masters of Fine Arts, but that's fine arts, not performing arts. There are advanced degrees. They're just not a PhD.
I see. I see.
But that was my big one for a long time, because I wanted to perform and I didn't know what, you know, singing, acting, whatever. And of course, I've always talked about, and unfortunately, I was too old and too built like this by the time I made this realization. But one of those, like, if I could go back and do everything over again, I want to be a dancer.
Really?
I've always wanted to be a dancer. Hmm. And I think it's because I love music so much. And to me, for some reason, I've never had the draw to compose music. That has never been a calling for me.
Hmm.
But the idea to be able to move physically in a way that expresses my feeling about music always seemed amazing to me.
Interesting. See, I'm
as I got older, I also realized, like, as with so many things, it's not nearly as fun as it looks when they're doing it. Like, there's a lot of physical effort and a lot of technical effort. As the same with music, like, having done a lot of musical performance, I know you cannot get lost in the moment quite the same way I can if I'm just listening to music.
Right.
Because you got shit to do.
Yeah.
And dancing is often the same sort of thing.
See, but I'm the opposite. I've never had an interest in dance at all, but I've had an interest in composition for a long time. I mean, even when I was little.
And I still have the software on here that I got to play around with composing music. I feel like I should be composing music. I feel like, given my temperament, given my interests, given my abilities, it makes sense that's what I should be doing. Not necessarily professional, but as a hobby. Even more so than writing, I think. And I just haven't ever gotten around to it.
But what about stand-up? Did you ever, is that something
oh,
that you just...
Oh, yes. Because, but not, it was also never a calling, except in that I wanted to make people laugh. is because everybody said you should be a stand-up because you're so funny, which is what everybody says to the funniest person in their family. I never really got the pull for stand-up, and this is going to sound funny, but I mean it quite seriously. I didn't have enough trauma in my, I didn't have enough issues. That there is a weird sort of mania that seems to be attached to every stand-up. There's this very specific hole that is being filled by stand-up. Because also becoming a stand-up takes a long time and is a very shitty experience. And every stand-up that did it is like, because when it's good, it's so good in those rare moments. And so you're constantly searching for that. And I just never had that. My need for external validation was never that intense. And so I was comfortable just being the person people in my social group laugh at.
But when I hear stand-up comedians talk about how they think and how they approach life, like, you know, Seinfeld one time was being interviewed and he was saying, I'm constantly, every experience I have, I'm constantly thinking, how is this a bit? How can this be funny? Yeah. So, and you do that. And so it's like,
I do.
It's like you think like a comedian, I guess, you know, but someone who does it professionally.
The thing that comedians say more often than that is, I'm just up here on stage because I have a desperate need for you all to like me.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Seinfeld maybe doesn't say it. Seinfeld's an unusual comedian in many ways. And also so out of touch at this point, I don't know that I still consider him, but whatever. Speaking of, though, I did leave out a huge thing from this last weekend.
Well,
or not this last, but this last week, last Thursday, actually. We went to the Hancher Auditorium and saw three stand-up comedians.
Oh.
And it was the first time we'd been back to Hancher since the flood, when it got wiped out and torn down and rebuilt.
That was a long time ago.
It's snazzy now. I mean, it was always pretty snazzy, but it's real snazzy now.
Nice.
It is funny because it had that, what I think of as like 70s snazzy before.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, this is like modern snazzy. But we went specifically because one of the comedians was Aparna Nancherla, who we are pretty decent fans of, and more so fans because she is one of the voices, one of the characters in The Great North. But we were kind of fans of her stand-up before then. And so we went to see her. There was an opening act, Dylan Adler. He was pretty good. I didn't know much about him. I might look up more about him. I don't know yet. And then it wasn't a opener feature headliner. It was two headliners, basically. Aparna and then a woman named Atsuko Okasuko, I think was her name. Atsuko was definitely her first name. And I think the last name was Okatsuko, who I'd never heard of. But who's really funny. And so that was a really good time, and time to get out and see comedy and have a good time with that. And I'm going to do the unthinkable, and I'm going to spoil one of Atsuko's jokes, the last joke she ended with, because it cracks me up. How do you know when a joke is a dad joke? When it becomes apparent.
Pretty good.
It's really weird. She, like, her whole set was really crazy, and she's very physical and all sorts of stuff. And then for some reason, she ended on like a couple of puns. It was very strange, but had a fun time with that. I do. For those of you who aren't around here, we are in a very lucky position in Iowa City. We are a university town, and we have some big auditoriums, and we have a good cultural scene. And we are right between several large cities. So we are 3 to 5 hours away from St. Louis, Minneapolis, Chicago. And you can, if you throw in things like Des Moines and Madison, Wisconsin, stuff like that, these are all within a few hours of here. And so it is quite common that big name performers are like Saturday night here and Saturday night in Chicago, and then next Saturday's in St. Louis or whatever. And so in between, they do one or two nights here just as they're passing through. And so we've gotten to see quite a few big names that way, especially in comedy. And we're doing it again. I am super excited because I told Trish about this and she went to go get the tickets and she saw what was coming at Hanser. And first of all, in March, we're going to see a production of Into the Woods. So I'm excited about that. But in February,
nice.
In February, we are seeing Roy Wood Jr., who is arguably my favorite stand-up performing today.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Wood Jr., most people, if they did know him, would know him. He has been a Daily Show correspondent for quite a long time.
Oh.
But I find he's hilarious. But also, he does such a great job of being very, very outspoken in terms of social issues and social justice while still being extremely hilarious. And I love that. Hmm. And for a long time, I've been like, I need to find one of his specials or something. And I think he does them through Comedy Central, which is too bad. It's harder to find. If they do them through HBO, it's just on Max. And if they do them through Netflix, it's on Netflix. If they do them through Comedy Central, I don't get Comedy Central. So, because I don't get TV channels. So missed that a lot. But yeah, he's touring and he's coming through. And I'm very excited to see him. So that's going to be awesome.
Cool.
Well, this was a hodgepodge of bullshit. So if you want to stop this from happening, and trust me, you do, write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You could even write in just for example and say, hey, William and Tony, gave my kid to Krampus for the holidays. Here's a nice picture of my kid getting in the sack to be taken away by Krampus, presumably to be punished and or eaten. And we could talk about that for a while.
Yeah.
About
that.
You could even add in a little bit to say, and I changed my Facebook profile picture to reflect this image, so maybe you'll see it sometime. You could say that. To come up with a complete hypothetical, you could say that. Speaking of which, Azure Talon, how old is your kid now? Because in that picture, she looks like she's like, is she a teenager? Because I'm not okay with that. It is too soon for her to be a teenager. She was 4 last time I checked. But she looks older in that picture. I don't like that. So yeah, write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, or just comment right in the YouTube video. What do you know about circus folk that we don't know, that William needs to know? Do you want to be a marine biologist? Did you want to be a marine biologist? Are you a marine biologist? Do you like Godzuki? And what's wrong with you? and Godzuki, as he falls down like a leaf in the opening credits, he like does this.
Yeah.
Why? He's still like a 6 foot tall lizard monster.
Yeah.
Like I would say, as a ratio to the cartoon version, it is very similar to Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla and then Godzuki. Godzuki's still kind of big, but just compared to Godzilla, he's like a little.
Right.
And dumb, which is also a classic of the time period, is a goofy, cute, and really stupid side character like that.
Yeah.
Which Scrappy-Doo was not. So, I guess different shows do things differently. I don't know. This is the only TV show I've ever had, and it's purely for ASMR purposes. Does that sound like anything? Can you hear? It's a napkin. It doesn't really crinkle. It's all I got.
I don't have any crinkly things. You can whisper, though. Okay. They whisper, don't
they? Except, again, I don't actually know where the mic is.
Okay.
Does this do anything for you? Relax. Be calm. I'm gonna asmer you. Amzer. Is this amzering you? Are you amzered? Be calm.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.